We're back. NBA Therapy, Episode 5. I'm Nate Dizor. I'm with...
Stephen Pack.
We're here. Episode 5. Still waiting for the season to start. We're less than 2 weeks away. We're recording this on a Sunday. And today we're going to go a little back into history, just about a year, into last year. And we're going to give our All-NBA teams for the 2018-2019 NBA season, just last year. So the way we would construct our NBA teams, our All-NBA teams, is I've always had a big problem with how the league does this, and I think it costs a lot of players money when they get snubbed, and I think not that writers don't take it seriously, but they're just told to only care about the regular season, and I think that should be changed because Most NBA fans watch more playoff basketball than regular season. We see every year how things change in the playoffs, and we see every year how the best players are made in the playoffs. So our All-NBA teams will be, again, 1 through 15. We're going to go in order. Me and Steven have different teams. We'll debate it. And then we're going to, again, the number one spot will be our MVP, and we're going to go positionless, so you don't need a center to make it on the first team. You can have five guards on every team if you want, just who the best players in the league are. So hopefully there will be no snubs. We're going to do 15. We'll give a few honorable mentions, and we're going to do this every year. So once the bubble's over and the playoffs are done, we're going to give our 2020 teams. And yeah, that's about it. Just like last year, for example, Giannis won MVP. He was not the best player in the league, so he will not win the MVP for us. I imagine for either of us, he'll probably be first team, but he won't win MVP. Would you agree?
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
So we're going to go positionless. And again, DeAndre Jordan has a first team All-NBA. It's not the perfect system they have. And we're going to factor more than just the regular season in our rankings. You'll catch on. Just not much in recent news, except for I want to give a quick shout-out to Matisse Thybul, 76ers rookie. He's actually vlogging in the Orlando bubble. So is JaVale McGee. I've been watching both. I've probably been watching Thybul's a little more. And they're honestly amazing. They're really enjoyable to watch. It's really cool. And it's pretty. It's kind of like an in-depth look at the bubble. I mean, there's a lot going on. It's like a reality TV show. So it's definitely a big form of entertainment.
Yeah, I'm ready for the bubble to just get started. I know scrimmages are starting in like a week, so I definitely want to turn on the TV for that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start watching it as soon as basketball's on.
It's funny. I saw on my recommended feed today that the NBA is posting, like, practice highlights.
I saw, like, have you seen Lakers practice Simmons shooting highlights. Threes?
No, I didn't.
Looks pretty good.
76ers should hope for it.
Yep.
I wouldn't say they have a ton of three-point shooters. Shake Milton definitely helps, though.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into our All-NBA teams. I imagine we're already going to have a disagreement. So we're going to go 1 through 15. We're going to talk about a few honorable mentions, a few players that got snubbed. Honestly, I feel bad that there's not four teams just because there's so many great players in the league. You always have to leave.
Some of the players would have been stacked.
Yeah, I have six snubs and honorable mentions I want to talk about too. So... And that's, yeah, honestly, I could have made 10. So the league is stacked right now. I feel bad for some of the players who get excluded. But we'll start with our MVPs. We're already going to have a disagreement. Who's your MVP of last year?
Stephen Curry. That's my MVP. Yeah. Do you want me to get into why, or you're going to say yours
case.
First?
Make the case.
Okay, so his regular season, he had an underrated year. He was top 5 in MVP voting. Despite missing 13 games, first team All NBA, they were 10-1 in his first 11 games before he got hurt, and in those games he was averaging 31-5-6 on 51% shooting from three, and then they get injured in the next 11 games. I mean, he gets injured, and they go 5-6, and which is like the definition of valuable, they were 52-17 with him, 5-8 without him. This I'm just talking regular season. And he had the most 40-point games that season by anyone not named James Harden. And then we go to the first round. He's putting up 25-7-5 on 50-50-97 splits. In game two, he made the go-ahead three with around 50 seconds remaining. And then we move on to the second round. So KD's kind of like messing with the flow of the offense. It's not really the ideal Warriors offense.
Oh, what do you mean messing with the offense?
At this point, it's kind of more like it's not the 2017 Warriors. It's kind of like KD wants his shots. He's kind of like, I want to prove I'm the best. And it's not really like the ideal for them to win. You can see by the drop in Klay and Steph's numbers. So the series is tied 2-2 when KD goes down and Steph takes over. He has 20 in the second half of game 5, 33 in the second half of game 6. And
he scored all those points in the second half, right? In game 6?
Yeah. That was the ultimate legacy game for him.
That was a wild game.
You got the Western Conference Finals. He had the most points ever in a 4-game sweep. 37-8-7 averages. He comes back down 17 in each of the last 3 games. And he has 37-13-11 in the closeout game. Yeah, and then in the finals, he averages 31 against a box-and-1 defense. He's playing 2 games without Klay. And
one and a half.
All right, yeah. If you take out his heaves, his full court heaves, he's averaging 43, 37, and 95 splits, which is pretty good considering the defense he was playing against. In game 3, he drops 47, 8, and 7, one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in the finals. And they lose because the Raptors shot 52, 45, 95 splits as a team because Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston, Andrew Bogut, DeMarcus Cousins are all playing heavy minutes, and they couldn't guard anyone for their life that game. In game five, he made the game tying three. In game 5, he made the game tying three, and in game 6, they're up 3 before Klay's injury.
Wait, who made the other 2 clutch threes in game 5?
Klay Thompson. I'll get to him when he's on my list. He's on my list.
I know he's on mine too, but
I'm just saying
Steph didn't make the clutch shot. He made one of.
Well, he made the one to tie the game, and it was probably one of the biggest shots of his career.
If Klay doesn't make those, then... And then Iguodala hit the 3 to ice the game, right? What game was that?
That was
the game 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was game 2.
But that was because I'm pretty sure Steph created that.
I don't remember how the play exactly formed, but he was wide open. I remember it took a second, and it just drained it. But yeah, get to what you're saying.
Well, all around, you just look at it, and he was just valuable, and he just showed up. And, like, there wasn't any point where he didn't show up in the season, I would say.
All fair points. But, I think that what we saw out of Kawhi Leonard last year was a historic season. He averaged 39-4 throughout the playoffs, shooting 49 from the field and 38 from 3 while being one of the best defenders in the league. Again, he did a great job on Giannis, he did a great job on Jimmy Butler, and he did a great job in the finals. What he did in the playoffs, I get what Curry did was great, but at the end of the day, not even that Kawhi's team won, it's just... He was the best player on the floor, I thought, in all of those finals games. Again, in the finals MVP, averaged 28-9-4, shooting more efficient splits from the field and from three than Curry. Only one less assist than Curry, more steals, more blocks, better defense. It came down to the finals to me on who the best player was, and I thought Kawhi showed it.
Well, I think Kawhi kind of disappeared in a few clutch moments in the finals. I know Steph, because he wasn't the closer in the finals in the fourth quarter.
Skip Bayless made this point. I remember this so well when he was trying to say Fred VanVleet should have been finals MVP. And look, like, not every fourth quarter he's going to shine in. Like, some fourth quarters they just kill.
Remember? I get it, but it's not like he did not. Like with Steph, he's getting double teamed at the top of the key, which is why he can't be taking those shots. But Kawhi had the matchup, and
Kawhi got double teamed too. Remember, at the end of Game 5, When he had to pass to Lowry, when he passed it to VanVleet, and then VanVleet kicked it to Lowry. That was one play. I'm just
talking about like 5 minutes on.
He gets double teamed. I'm saying Kawhi is like Kawhi is. I mean, Siakam could barely even dribble. Like Siakam could get to the rim, but no one had the moves on Toronto like Kawhi did.
Well, I won't disagree with you like completely, just because when I was looking through this, I was like, you know what, Kawhi actually has a really good case for number one. I just looked back at it, I was like, there was never a moment where I'm just like, this is a black mark, you know, because he just showed up every moment too. I just think that, like,
I don't know. After what he did to Giannis, after what he did to Giannis and his game seven in Philly, I just thought it was Kawhi. Like, throughout the whole playoffs.
Well, I know we are looking at playoffs, but this isn't only playoffs. And I count regular season kind of like around like the magnitude of 1 to 2 rounds. So
I get that, but I get the regular season was big. That's why it came down to the finals to me. It just, that's when I see who the best players were. And I thought, and just what Kawhi was able to do end to end was unparalleled.
You don't think Steph played better in the finals than Kawhi did?
No, I don't. It was really close, but I don't.
Okay, well, I think Kawhi is a really good case, so I can't really disagree with that. Like,
I think it was really close, but there were just moments where Kawhi was unstoppable, and he could get to wherever he wanted. It didn't matter. He was just stronger than everyone. And it's not a knock against Curry, but when Curry gets double teamed, it's different than Kawhi getting double teamed or them putting, because Kawhi is just stronger than Curry.
I mean, I remember just watching the games and, like, it just felt like, where's Kawhi at? And then somehow he has, like, 28 points. I'm like, where did that come from? It didn't feel like he had as big as an impact on the game as, like, Curry did. Or even, like,
I can see that because a lot of it was ISO ball. But I can't discredit what Kawhi would do. But to be fair, my number two for All-NBA First Team was Steph Curry. Who is yours number two?
Kawhi Leonard.
All right, so we flip-flop right there. See, I think 1 to 2 we'd be different, but I think 3 to 9 will have the same list. Who did you have 3?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, come on.
What?
3's KD.
I like KD more than Giannis, but I gotta have Giannis.
Come on. Look, Giannis it was amazing, but if KD doesn't get hurt, he's gonna be number one on this list or two.
I don't even have KD 5-4.
What? Why?
Okay, we'll get into it later, or we can get into it now. But I want to talk Giannis.
Why? Wait, why do you? Make the case for Giannis.
Okay, so he won the MVP, won best record in the league, one of the most efficient MVP seasons of the century.
Yeah. All fair.
They were just a historic team in terms of, like, point differential, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. First team all defense, second in defensive player of the year voting.
Yep, he'll be first this year.
He did dominate the Pistons and Celtics. And in the Bucks series, he did, he did choke, sure. But
he was bad. KD was bad. Never he bad, was bad in a series.
But his, like, no, I do agree he was bad. But, like,
look, I've defended him on this because his teammates didn't show up either. Like, Middleton and Bledsoe were bad. Brook Lopez had, like, one good game. Brogdon had to come back from injuries.
Well, KD didn't even play in the conference final. Like, Giannis took the defending champs to 6, which is what a shorthanded Warriors team did.
Look,
so that's around where I put him.
I like giving KD the benefit of the doubt because when I saw him in the playoffs, he was killing teams. Remember when he had like 55-5 against the Clippers?
Well, I'll get into KD. Do you want to get into KD right now?
Yeah, let's get into KD. So you're like that. You have him lower because the teammate stuff, I'm guessing.
Well, I just think that like...
Because he was one foot out the door.
Won that ring. Do you really have Kevin Durant in your top 3 had they won the ring? I think he's even lower if they win the ring. Like, I think
he's like 2, maybe 1.
Because Kevin Durant had a pretty like lackluster campaign in the regular season. Like Giannis like blows him away regular season. In the first round, he goes off. He's averaged 35 on 57, 40, and 95. He was great. He has a positive plus minus in every game.
You talk about Giannis against who? The Pistons?
No, I'm saying Kevin Durant. He was 35-5. Yeah. I'm getting Kevin Durant. He was killing. Right now. But the second round, at this point, he's looking only for his shots. His efficiency really drops. And I think he became selfish at this point because he was really on this, like, I want to prove I'm the best player in the world. So, yeah, he's averaging 35-5.
A lot of people thought he was the best player in the world at that time.
Okay, but that's because of the, like, he's averaging, because people, like, they only look at the box score, or, like, a lot of fans. So, he's averaging 33-5-4 on 46% field goal percentage, which was a huge, huge drop. And he's taking around, like six more shots a game. He's taking 24 shots a game. And before he goes down, the series is tied 2-2, and the Rockets had just won two straight games. Like, sure, Kevin Durant might have, like, let's say they lose that series in seven, and Kevin Durant put up 35. I think lesser of Kevin Durant, while everyone else thinks more, because they're thinking he dropped 35. His team didn't show up. What I think is he dropped 35. It cost what the Warriors, how they play basketball.
I'm with you, but it wasn't just his fault that they went down. They dropped those two games. You know, he's not the only person. Like, it's also Curry's fault. It's also Klay's. It's also Draymond's. It's all their faults. You can't just blame KD for it. I'm with you on the fact that he got injured, maybe you could bump him. It's just I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because Giannis is not the better player to me than Kevin Durant. That's why I put Kevin Durant there. Just because for that year, Durant was better in the time I saw him.
Well, like, here's the thing.
I didn't really care. I didn't really even care about his stats. Just watching both of them. KD was, he could do more for me.
Durant had a way worse regular season, and he plays two rounds and 11 minutes in the finals.
Like, again, but that whole team of the Bucks is geared around Giannis's strength. Durant is looking at the regular season like, let's just get the first seed and get out of here, which is what they did. Like. I mean, Durant won in the regular season. I don't think anything that he did was wrong. It's just Giannis was in a completely different scenario where, yeah, like, get your burn, get your, like, do whatever you can because it's all geared around him. It's just shooters in space and he gets to go downhill.
Well, it's not like the Warrior, like, Kevin Durant like Giannis was the isn't biggest sharing beneficiary. Shots with Kevin Durant Giannis was the biggest beneficiary shots. Of the Warriors.
Well, like, so was Steph.
Steph's numbers went down when KD was on the floor. Every year, they were
Steph,
down when KD was on the floor.
I think if you asked Steph, he'd say he enjoyed playing with Kevin Durant.
Well, because Steph knows how to be a teammate.
That's because he likes playing with great players, and KD is one of them.
Guys like playing with Westbrook,
everyone
benefited. But you know what
happened. Everyone benefited from KD going there. Don't do that. What do you say? Westbrook?
Guys like playing with Westbrook, but it doesn't mean that Westbrook helps them.
Yeah, a lot of guys like playing with Westbrook because KD left him and PG left him and without even blinking.
Look, here's what I think about Kevin Durant. He can be on a lot, and when he's on, you're going to win. Like, when he's on, it's like, yeah, I could see that. But when he's off, it's really detrimental to your team. Like, the first round, he was going off. He had a positive plus-minus in every game. Then in the second round, he had a positive plus-minus in one game because...
Is plus minus really like, is that really a make or break stat for you?
Well, see, here's the thing. It isn't, but for the Warriors, it is. Because the Warriors, the way they roll their rotations is that they have their starters come out for the beginning of the game. Then they take out either KD. And then they start the second quarter, Steph and a bunch of bench guys, not even Klay, Draymond, and KD. Then they work those guys in. So that's why when I see KD has a lower plus minus than Steph, I know something's wrong.
This is what I'll say. Do you honestly think that KD was just going for his stats against Houston and was just trying to like score a lot?
It really does look like when I don't think he might have not been doing it intentionally, but like he felt like because he was so on in round one, he's like the best way for me to win is if I get my shots.
I don't know. See, I want to say it's true, but let's look at it from Durant's perspective. Okay, they're playing Houston. They're worse than in 2018. They don't have Ariza anymore, who was the best guy to guard Durant. PJ Tucker's 5 inches shorter than him. Maybe KD saw it as like, look, I'm going to score a lot. They have Eric Gordon. They have CP. They have a lot of guys to guard Stephen Clay. Maybe Durant was looking at it like, I have the mismatch. I should go and try and score. Is that fair?
Maybe that's how he's looking at it. I say it's fair that he thinks that way. But when you look at the game, I'm just seeing Steph and Clay standing there. And I've never seen that from the Warriors. And at that point, I was like, like I've never seen that. Like, I'm just like, what's going on? And it's all right, because Kevin Durant just there so at the top of the key.
So where do you have Durant? 4 or 5?
5.
All right, at least he's in your first team. And I'm guessing you have Harden 4th.
No.
Wait, hold up. Okay, look. This is my first team. My first team in order is Kawhi, Steph, KD, Giannis, Harden. Your first team is Steph, Kawhi, and then
Giannis.
Who? Giannis. Wait.
Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, it's Jokic. I knew it would be Jokic. I knew it would be Jokic. This is where I'll push back on Jokic. And look, I was really tempted to put Jokic. So you don't have Harden in your first team.
No, I don't.
See, this is where I'll push back on that. Jokic, look, he was great, but in the regular season, he showed up out of shape. He was a little slow in the first bit. I mean, he showed up out of shape every year, this last year too. And, you know, him and the Nuggets, like, he kind of worked his way in, and I get that he went to the second round, but again, look, Harden ran to the Warriors, so he also got to the second round. I honestly would bet that if Houston plays Portland, they win. And enough hasn't been said about the injuries that Houston faced that year, where Gordon went down, CP missed time. I want to say PJ Tucker missed some time. A lot of guys in that team were injured, and James just carried them and was winning games. And ended up the 4th seed when they started out like the 12th seed. I don't think what he did in that regular season, just putting them in the playoffs like that and taking care of Utah in like 5 games was remarkable. And you watch those Warriors games back, a lot of people blame him for not taking over when KD went out. He made the right decisions. He wasn't playing as if to just score a lot. He truly was just making right decisions. And again, you can knock him for his defense, but at least he tries in the playoffs. He's not just a complete negative. And what he did in the regular season was historic. And I don't think his numbers dropped that much in the playoffs.
You do kind of convince me when you do say that with the regular season and all. But when it comes down to it, I kind of factor regular season like 1 and 2 rounds.
I get that. Jokic was ridiculous, but I mean, Harden averaged 31, 6.5, and like 7 in the playoffs. You know,
but Jokic led his team to the second seed in the West. He was first team All NBA regardless of the postseason, and he played outstanding in the postseason. He was 4th in MVP voting.
I get that.
In the first series against the Spurs,
they were crazy. His averages. In the playoffs.
And he just goes off in the playoffs. You would think a guy like Jokic kind of crumbles down. This dude, just his scoring average just went up like 3-4 points every round. The first round, he averaged 23-12-9 in his first series ever. And he has a 21-15-10 line in game 7. And in the second round, he has, 27-14-8? And
he averaged 25-13-9 in the playoffs while shooting above 50 from the floor and 39 from 3. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And in the second round, I blame Jamal Murray for shooting 40% from the field in the second round. That's why I think they lose in 7.
Yeah, Jokic outplayed Dame in that series. It's just Dame had CJ McCollum.
Outplayed Dame in that series.
McCollum had 37 in that game 7. Jokic was good, but Murray just was enough. And I get that, but I just watching James in the regular season, like they wouldn't have been in the playoffs if he wasn't on the team. It was ridiculous.
What do you think about a Jamal Murray led Nuggets?
I think they make the playoffs.
Really?
The Nuggets was, again, like Jokic showed up out of shape and it kind of didn't matter. They would still win games. Extremely well coached, and look, Harden ran to the Warriors and took them to Harden took the Warriors to six. You know, with KD in most of the time.
Well, there's four. Those four first four games were not the Warriors that I know.
I mean, he's beating the team in front of him, and that team still had KD, Klay, Steph, and Dre on the floor. I mean, you look at what Jokic did against Portland. He was great, but he didn't win. I think Harden beats Portland. I'm pretty confident of that. Oh, Portland got blown out by Golden State. Not blown out, but swept. I don't think Houston would get swept. And they battled injuries. Chris Paul was in and out. I mean, there was a lot of unstable stuff in Houston, and James just put them on their back. It was really an historic season for him. What did he average in the season? Like 36? And it was a meaningful 36. Like, they needed him to score 36 for them to win.
It's like his teammates showed up all in the playoffs. Like, Eric Gordon was going off in the playoffs. Tucker and Capella was playing great. Like, I think that, like, part of it is on Harden. The fact that, like, because of his teammates played good, like, he didn't. Like, when his teammates were playing on par to Golden State. Like, it was really Harden versus what? Like, Harden versus, I mean,
Curry, I would say Durant.
Yeah, but that team was just like, the first four games of that series, Golden State looked pretty bad to me.
I mean, who would you credit with that? Would you give Houston any credit with making them look bad?
I would say Kevin Durant.
Oh, stop it.
No, it really was. If you go back and watch that game.
So Steph and Klay will just let Durant ruin their team and not do anything about it. Is that what you're saying? It doesn't make sense that Durant just ruins their team and Steph and Klay are like cool with it.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, why are they just standing there? Why are they letting Kevin Durant take mid ranges? And that's what Steve Kerr told Kevin Durant, I'm pretty sure. He was like, oh, you got to, like, remember he said that? He was like, wasn't it like when MJ did this, blah, blah, blah? He was giving that speech.
Oh, I think I kind of remember that.
Because Kevin Durant, he wasn't playing team ball.
Either way, I'm not going to fault you for putting Jokic up there. I think the top five is unassailable. And I think Kawhi, Steph, honestly, I think KD and Giannis are all locks for the top five. You have Harden. I mean, you have Jokic in your first team. I have Harden. But our top six has the same players. I have Jokic six right after Harden. Look, I get what Jokic did was incredible, but just Harden's ability to win and go toe-to-toe with the Warriors, no one's been able to do that. No one, honestly. Even the Cavs couldn't go toe-to-toe with the Durant Warriors.
That was a year ago. That was like a year before. That wasn't.
What do you mean? They went to six with them, and it was like a meaningful. It was a meaningful six. The Clippers
again,
were.
The Warriors
that was a different story.
That was something different with the first four games of the Warriors. They didn't look good. They did not.
So, I mean, who do you credit with that? You don't give Houston any credit with making them look bad?
No, it's straight up Kevin Durant. It was like
that's
why
I don't think they would look as bad if they were playing a worse team than Houston.
I don't know. I just think that Kevin Durant was really like he was so much like into himself from the Clippers series that it was just like, I'm gonna win the series again, and he just liked doing that.
I don't think that's the whole story. I really don't. But either way, I think obviously we've disagreed enough, but I was wrong. But there's no way we disagree on number seven. Who do you have at number seven?
Paul George.
Oh my God, we disagree.
Wait,
again.
What? You don't have Paul George at number seven?
No.
Who do you have?
Damian Lillard.
Oh, he's down on my list.
What? Look. Okay, first of all, they beat Denver. You want to talk about Paul George? Damian Lillard was the best player in that series. That should end the debate right there. It was over in five, and Damian Lillard was the best player in the series by far. You know, at least Portland made it to the conference finals. I mean, who was there? And again, Nurkic was out. Who were their top 5 in minutes played? Lillard, McCollum, Aminu, Zach Collins, Seth Curry.
Well, I was thinking about this.
Think about all their players. Damian Lillard, not a great defender. McCollum, not a great defender. Rodney Hood, not a great defender. Seth Curry, not a great defender. Like, PG should have abused them.
You know what? I had Damian Lillard originally, like, in that tier, but when it came down to it, I was just like, this was Russell Westbrook's fault.
Oh my God. So PG gets no blame.
Well, he averaged 29-9-4. It's not like he played like bad.
Did he play better than Dame?
He had a 3-for-16 game in game 3. But you didn't mention Harden's 3-for-20 game or something like that?
Against Utah?
Yeah.
Paul
George only had one bad game. I mean,
Paul George isn't James Harden. And again, Paul George wasn't losing to Portland. You know what? Oh my God. Lillard averaged 33-4-6 in that series.
Well,
Paul George was less efficient. Paul George, as a forward, was less efficient than him from the field, from three, from free throw, like everything. And also, Paul George played the most minutes. He played more minutes than Russ. Russ averaged less minutes. Russ only averaged 22 points. They were both taking around the same amount of shots. Paul George should take over then. I don't want to give Russ all the blame because Lillard was able to win the series. Lillard was the best player by far in the series. I think that's not debatable.
Paul George was first team all NBA, first team all defensive. Third in defense player of the year voting, third in MVP voting. Led the league in steals, 28-8-4. I don't know how you don't have him in your top seven.
What do you mean? Lillard led Portland to a higher seed. And was also first team regular season all NBA.
Well, who do you have, McCollum or Westbrook? And after that, who's team better?
Who do you have? Enes Kanter, Harkless, or would you have Jeremy Grant, Steven Adams? Like I'd say that their supporting casts are close to equal. I think Lillard has the slight edge. But if you say PG's the best player, he should win the series. He shouldn't lose it in five. Don't act like Lillard was playing with amazing players.
The crazy thing is, I don't have Lillard close to Paul George.
Why? He single-handedly destroyed OKC.
Should I get into my case now or later? Because I have him later on the list.
Look, I understand where PG is. I have PG 8th. I mean, he was so hard to rank, but again, he was less efficient in both. I think OKC, Vegas had OKC as the favorites, and his turnovers went up in the playoffs. He shot a worse 3 percentage, and they lost to Portland, who was missing their third best player in 5 games. That's inexcusable. He lost in the first round, and you have him ranked 7th, higher than Lillard, who went to the conference finals.
Okay, see, the first round, I completely get it. He was great the first round, so I'm going to get into my case now. So, like, his first round was great, okay? He did have a worse regular season, but he had a great first round. But I think it hurts the fact that he choked in the second round in the Western Conference Finals more than just Paul George not being there.
That is fair. No, I don't care how bad you are. If you get there, that's better than someone not.
CJ McCollum got him there to the Western Conference Finals.
No, but even the second round, I'd rather have someone go to the second round and average like 100 turnovers and be horrible and beat another guy in the first round than a guy that just loses in the first round. Like, I'd always rather go farther in the playoffs.
In the Nuggets series, just what?
Because Lillard is playing worse, but he's also playing a better team.
He was 3-for-17 in Game 7 against the Nuggets.
Yeah, PG was at home during that Game 7.
Yes, but...
PG wasn't even there. Like, it's over. How are you making this argument?
That's the same argument.
He wasn't even there.
But you won't make that case with Kevin Durant.
He was injured. He didn't lose.
Paul George is basically injured by playing with Russell Westbrook.
Oh, stop it. Look, I know it's bad. I know it was bad. But you act like Lillard was horrible in that round.
He got even worse as throughout the playoffs. In the Western Conference Finals, 37% from the field. He blew 3 17-point leads. And yeah, Steph dropped 37 a game on him.
Look at the team he's playing. Yeah, I know Steph Curry's better than Damian Lillard. You know what? I know also know that Steph Curry's better than Paul George. Like, when it came down to it, when it was time, look, that game-winning shot that Lillard had in Game 5, that alone just proves my point. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need. Just that. Just that shot over Paul George. That explains.
We just have right different there. Philosophies. You think that. All right, whatever. You want to know where I have him, or you want me to bring it up later?
Hold up. All right. Number 8, I have Paul George, who we just got into, right after Damian Lillard. Who do you have number 8?
I have Klay Thompson. I wanted to put...
Ooh.
I have Klay Thompson.
Ooh.
I think I rated him too high. I think I did.
I think you did, too.
I really think I did. Looking back at it, I did rate him
very high. If you look, I know he fit really well with the Golden State Warriors. I know he did his job. Trust me, Klay shot like 55% in those finals. He was ridiculous. Averaged like 25 a game. But you look at Damian Lillard's ability.
I'm going to switch it up.
You look at Lillard's ability to run that team.
I'm going to put Draymond number 8.
Draymond!
Kyle Lowry number 9.
What is happening? Wait. Slow down. You have your number 7's Paul George. Your 8, 9, 10 is Draymond Green, Kyle Lowry, and
Klay Thompson.
Oh my gosh. See, our lists are.
Can I make my case for Draymond Green real quick?
Make the case for Draymond Green, because I'm not going to lie, I didn't even have him on my All-NBA teams, and it was a really simple reasoning.
So the regular season, obviously it's not great, but again, I'm treating that like 1 to 2 rounds max. Like,
this is where I'll push back real quickly. This is where I'll push back on that, because if Damian Lillard has his regular season, like, he didn't even care. He was, what, like 20 pounds overweight? If he wasn't playing on the Warriors, he wouldn't have made the playoffs and it wouldn't have been over. So
let me bring it up. So this is a guy who really stepped up as the playoffs went on. He averaged 7, 7, and 7 in the regular season.
Yeah.
Which is he's still all defensive team, obviously. It's Draymond Green. First round, he steps up his game. He's 12, 8, and 8. He's averaging 2 blocks a game. And he had 16, 14, 10, and 4 blocks in a closeout game. He played great in that Clipper series. In the second round, he steps up even more. He's averaging 13, 11, and 8. He's shooting 56% from the field. And he really played a great role in that series with KD or without him.
His decision-making in those series were amazing. He made so many plays for the Golden State.
So many great passes, I agree.
And then go to Portland.
17, 12, 9, 2, and 3. That's his averages. Yeah.
That was his best.
54% from the field. He helped charge each of the third quarter runs. And it really felt like he was Golden State's second best player. And in the finals, he was limited. But he still averaged 13, 11, and 9. And he made clutch plays, rotations, and baskets the whole series. And in game 6, he averaged 11, 19. I mean, not average. He put up 11, 19, and 13. The thing that hurts him is he had 8 turnovers, which is why I originally had him lower than Klay.
Yeah.
But when I do think about it, Klay Thompson did miss those 2 games. And he just didn't play them. Regardless if he would have played well, he didn't. So that's why now I'm starting to put Draymond over.
My feeling with that was that Draymond was amazing, but I couldn't put him second team because he just didn't care about the regular season. Like,
he's averaging like 15, 10, and 8 and like on the playoffs.
I get what he did in the playoffs, and it was amazing, but he wouldn't even be there if he didn't play with 2 first team guys like Steph and KD, and you have Klay in your top 10 too. So there were times where he was like the 5th best guy on the court for their team. I love Draymond, but I can't put him second team for what happened in the regular season.
But look what he did. He got better every round of the postseason.
In the finals, he slipped a little bit. A little bit.
Okay.
Portland was his best. Like, he definitely dropped off a little bit when they played Toronto. It's not a bad thing.
But in the Portland series, 17-12-9, and he's the best defensive player on the court. That is all NBA, like, first team worthy. Like,
I agree, but
Jokic, if Jokic had the best defense on the court.
Okay, so you put him higher than Damian Lillard, right?
Yeah.
If you put his regular season on the Trailblazers, are they even getting to the playoffs?
I'm not doing what ifs for this. I'm doing what happened.
Well, no, are they? Do you think they are?
Because if we're doing what ifs, then we could put LeBron James on any team, but that's not what happened.
Like, well, no, not an injury what if. Just like if you just subtract what Lillard did and add what Draymond did in the regular season to that Portland team, like. What are they doing? Are they getting past OKC? Don't think so.
I don't want to do the substitution thing or whatever where other guys would be on our team. I just know Draymond showed up a lot in the playoffs. That's what I saw.
And I know he coasted most of the regular season.
Like, you have Kawhi number one, but he really had probably, like, I don't even know if he had a top 10 regular season. Like,
no, he was second team. Kawhi was second team, which is crazy. Kawhi and KD were second team.
If that Raptors team doesn't go 17-5 without him, and let's say they only have like 49 wins that season, like Kawhi is not making second team.
He beat everyone ahead of him in the playoffs. Everyone.
I get that. But Draymond did too. Draymond was playing great too.
Best player.
Okay, but Draymond was dominating.
He was, but it's easy to be like. It's not easy to beat Damian Lillard where a team is their most of the attention is on you. It's easier to beat Draymond when most of the attention goes to KD and Steph. Am I wrong?
Hold on. Damian Lillard was playing with house money. It was pretty easy to beat Damian Lillard.
No, it wasn't.
He's playing with house money.
OKC was – not only was OKC favored in that series – but after Nurkic went down, people were saying it was over for the Blazers. People weren't even counting them out. And the only reason people were saying they were in it was because of Damian Lillard.
Do you want to know where I have Damian? Well, I just really think that he really didn't like.
So you don't think Lillard's even second team?
If you want to say that Damian Lillard showed up more than Paul George when they played against each other, Draymond Green outplayed Damian Lillard when they played each other.
Fair, but Damian Lillard didn't get to play with Steph and Clay.
CJ McCollum sure did his part. Myers Leonard and Steph Curry went off.
Is he Steph and Clay? Are they Steph and Clay?
No, but this is Draymond Green.
They're not.
We're not talking about Steph and Clay. Draymond Green just showed up.
I'm not saying he didn't show up, but you act like
he literally doubled his regular season averages. He literally doubled his regular season averages.
Yeah, because they were so bad.
Like 7-7-7 and 1-1 is not bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. For second team, all NBA, that's really bad. You're not even double digits for points scored.
But in the playoffs, he was averaging 15 a game.
Look, I get that, but he wouldn't even be there. All right, whatever. So you have. Okay, whatever. I have Paul George 8th. You have Draymond Green 8th.
Yeah.
My number 9. A guy you also haven't mentioned yet. Number 9, I have Joel Embiid.
Ooh, I wanted to, but yeah, I really did want to put him higher. I think I just have a little bit of, like, I should put him higher. I think I'm going to put him over Damian Lillard.
What about Kyle Lowry?
Well, Damian Lillard's number 12 for me.
And 11 is Embiid? Wait, who's 11?
LeBron James.
Oh my gosh. Wait, hold up. I don't think we have one player in the same spot. Where do you have Harden? 6?
I have Harden 6.
Yep, that's not the same. Giannis, Steph. 7th I have Lillard, you don't. Eighth, I have. That's crazy. You have Lillard 12th, and he was the best
player. When we're talking about the top five, you were all about the regular season. But now that we're talking about these bottom, like, 5 through 15.
What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean? With the top five, I wasn't about the regular season. I was about playoffs. Steph is there because of the playoffs. Kawhi's there because of the playoffs. Giannis is there because of the fact that he took the defending champs to 6 games. And
no, but I had the reason I had Steph over Kawhi is because they had about similar success in the postseason, but that Steph had a better regular season, which he did. But
no, I'm with you on that. That's fair. But the Draymond one, I don't get.
Well, like, Draymond,
their regular seasons weren't even close.
Because your Harden argument is that he played better in the regular season. Like, he carried that team onto the regular season.
No, he was good against Golden State. He wasn't bad.
He wasn't anything great, but
he was pretty good. Again, he averaged 36 and 6 in the playoffs. His numbers didn't dip exactly.
All right, so who do you have the rest of your top 10?
I want to hear your list. Number 9, I have Joel Embiid, and number 10, that's where I have Klay Thompson.
So number 9, I have Kyle Lowry. Number 10, I have Klay Thompson.
So finally, similarity. Number 10, Klay Thompson. The fact that Klay Thompson doesn't even get a third team in real life is just insane because it's regular season. But
no, I don't think that was insane because he was
no. I'm no. Bad. I'm saying like the fact that Klay Thompson can do what he does in the playoffs and it doesn't matter because of the system we have in place is insane. No, like the voting was correct.
Well, see, I wanted to put Klay Thompson, like, I had him originally 8 because he showed up in the highest age.
Yeah, but
when I look back at it, rounds 1 through 3, he really didn't play that good. Like, so he averaged 17, 3, and 2 in the first round. In the second round, in the first 4 games before KD went down, he averaged 15 a game. Then the next two, he has 27 each, obviously, after KD goes down.
He's taking a back seat for KD. My whole thing
is, you shouldn't be shooting 31% from three.
Wait, the playoffs or regular season?
In the second round, when he took a back seat,
that's fair. That's all fair. But what he was able to do in the finals and against Portland in the two later rounds was just it was great. And he wasn't bad in the regular season. He wasn't third team, but he was an all-star. He was still a great player.
I get that, but look, the regular season, I mean, in the Western Conference Finals, he has like 22 points a game, yeah, but it's on like, what, 37% shooting? Like, he didn't play great in the Western Conference Finals. And he missed a game and a half in the finals. That does, like, matter.
But when he was there...
When he was there, it was great.
Wait, hold up. Let me pull up his numbers real quick in that series.
26 points per game. Yeah, say what he averaged. Shooting from three. He made two clutch threes in game 5. He scores 30 in 3 quarters in game 6. And they looked helpless without him. So I think that...
Again, that like when he was out, they were losing. Just his impact on that team was...
I agree. That's why I originally had him 8. But...
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I have him 10th. I also I think he had a second team like performance. I have Embiid there because, speaking as a Nets fan, he just killed us. He killed us in that series. Like,
I don't know what to do with Embiid.
He'd play 25 minutes and somehow dominate us. Again, against Toronto, he was, like, abysmal. He shot 37% from the field. No, he was bad against Toronto. But again, they're, like, the best team to guard him. They have Ibaka to throw at him. They have Siakam to throw at him. They have Gasol to throw at him. They have Kawhi to throw at him. They have all these wings who can switch off. Like, they're the perfect team to guard Embiid and what he does. Also, Ben Simmons wasn't great in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler was not Jimmy Butler. He was great, but he wasn't Jimmy Butler this year.
I think no one ever mentions, like, how Jimmy Butler really doesn't ever... I don't think he's ever overperformed in the playoffs, ever once.
He has
135 point game in the playoffs. And this year, I don't expect him to be better because He's shooting, what, 24% from three? And add on to that the fact that he's getting to the line at such a high rate, that's not going to continue in the playoffs. So this year, I don't really see it.
He'll still get to the line, though. Like, Harden still gets to the line. I'm not saying he's Harden, but...
What I'm saying. You see what happens to Harden?
Discussion. That's a different discussion. Jimmy Butler is not in my All-NBA team. Is he in yours?
He's not. No.
Yeah, he's not. Joel Embiid is. And that's because he was the best player on the Sixers by far. Again, great regular season, dominated. And I know his playoff numbers aren't as good. He was 20-10 in the playoffs, only shot 43%. But it was because of that Raptors series. And again, out of any team, who took the Raptors the most? It was the Sixers with Brett Brown. How do you feel about Brett Brown? I don't think he's a great coach.
No, I honestly, though, here's the thing. I don't blame Brett Brown confused. Because that Simmons-Embiid combo, I think only 3 to 5 coaches could even work with that.
Well, I think he should. He should. I don't know. It's just that team's fourth quarter offense in the playoffs was just god awful. And Simmons, like, didn't know what to do on offense sometimes. He just clogged the lane while Embiid was there. And yeah, Embiid was great. And if it's not for that stupid bounce, this argument could be, the conversation we're having could be totally different about Embiid.
Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing. He missed 18 games in the regular season. He missed game 3 in the first round. And the Toronto series, he was abysmal in terms of his own shooting.
I mean, no one on his team was great. And again, they have the perfect guys to guard Embiid. Like, when I look at, for example, when I look at how Steph does in the finals, I'm not taken back by it because they have Kyle Lowry and Van Vliet. They have guys to guard him. But if you perform, like, who on Toronto was guarding Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons? All the attention went towards Embiid. So I know his numbers were bad, but again, he got the Sixers. I mean, they went to 7 with the champs. That's the matter for something. Where do you have Embiid? You're revised because you said you move him up.
13. Well, now I have him 12.
Oh my god.
Wait, yeah, here's the thing. You're really not going to like my number 15 because now I see the way you're talking about the regular season. You're kind of overvaluing it.
No, so I'm not really overvaluing it. I've always been big on the playoffs. I don't have one regular season hero on my teams except for I think I have one. But look, I mean, Kyle Lowry was great, but you have him, what, 9th? He averaged like 16 a game in the playoffs.
See, what Kyle Lowry is not about the stats to me. See, I had stats written down for these other guys. For him, I didn't have anything written down. It's just Kyle Lowry. Like, he just, like, it's something that the casual fan couldn't understand.
No, I'm just with wouldn't show up I've, in a box I've score. I've always defended Kyle Lowry. I think it's crazy when people say that he doesn't deserve, like, the All-Star teams or whatever. Because a lot of people bag on him. But no, he was phenomenal. And again, Kyle Lowry was the emotional leader of that finals team. We can say all you want about Kawhi, but he was the emotional leader of that team. So again, I have Kyle Lowry in my All-NBA team, but
See, his stats don't even, like, I looked up his stats and I didn't even write it because it didn't do him justice. And that's not to say his stats were bad. Like, I think he had, no, what, like, he averaged 26-5. On like 51% shooting in the Eastern Conference Finals. He shuts down Bledsoe. And in the finals, he averages like 16-7. Like, he did play. He had good stats.
He was great in that Milwaukee series.
Like,
he was
even with his stats that were great, he played even better than his stats show.
No, I know Lowry was great, but would you say he's a better player than Joel Embiid?
Well, this isn't about better. Like, it's about who
it
shows
is about
up.
Who the better player is. If you put Kyle Lowry on Portland, do they beat OKC?
Then again, I do think Kyle Lowry gives you more of a chance to win a game than Joel Embiid does.
Wait, if you, because you have him higher than Lillard too. If you put Kyle Lowry on Portland, do they beat OKC?
Kyle Lowry on Portland, do they beat OKC?
Yeah. No, they don't. They don't.
I don't even want to think about it. Because here, there's floor raisers there's ceiling raisers.
If you put Kyle Lowry and Embiid in that Toronto series just switch teams, Lowry goes to the Sixers, Embiid goes to the Raptors. Is that series even go to six? No.
There are floor raisers. Like, who would you rather have in a playoff game? Like, I don't know, Ray Allen or like I'm trying to think of a guy who didn't show up in the playoffs. Like, that was just a scoring guy. But like
Carmelo.
You get the point. Yeah, Carmelo. Like, one guy would like really like carry a team, but you want the other guy for a championship team. Like, there are certain guys that are ceiling raisers.
Again, the 76ers, they had like five trusty guys in the playoffs. They had like five guys you could trust. They were built so top heavy. Like, again, it was a lot easier to beat Kyle Lowry in that series. I just think what Embiid did in the circumstances he had was great. And I'm not going to discredit Kyle Lowry, which is why I have Embiid ninth. And my 10th, I have Klay Thompson. So wait, who's your second team all NBA? Give me your second team.
James Harden, Paul George, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kyle Lowry.
All right. Now let's go to number 11. Who do you have number 11?
LeBron James. Wow. I wanted to put him lower. When you look at it, though, he averaged 27, 9, and 8. No other player did that. He was still great, but his team wasn't. And they were the fourth seed before he went down. And if we're looking at, like, who's valuable, they were 28 and 27 with him.
You see, 9 and 18 without him. This is my problem. My third team, like, I really didn't know how to rank them. I figured people had to be there. Look, LeBron has to be third team. He just has to be.
That was my logic, yeah.
You can't leave him off. Because, look, to me, it's one thing if you don't go far, like you fail to make it far and you don't go far. But the fact that he was injured and they were winning, they were 20 and 14 before he got injured, the fourth seed. Again, when he came back, they were obviously worse than they were before. I mean, averaged 27, 8, and 8, shot above 50%. He looked very uncharacteristically disengaged and coasted, which is why I'd have him third team. I mean, it's LeBron James. I mean, a lot of doctors said he rushed back from the injury, and I know he shut it down late, but I think you have to put him somewhere in the third team. To be honest with you, I didn't know where LeBron had. I didn't know where to rank LeBron.
It was so hard for me to rank him. I did not know where to put him. Do I put him like 7? Do I put him 15? Do I take him off the list? I couldn't even tell. Like, no, it was really hard. Look,
you want to say funny? I have LeBron 12th. I have LeBron 12th.
Yeah, I just
so
LeBron James is LeBron James.
So you had him 11th. My 11th person was actually who we spoke about, Kyle Lowry.
Okay, that's fair.
Again, well, he was great. I wanted to put him second team. It was close, but I couldn't. Look, so many people underrate him, and they still do. Game 6 was the big defining game of the finals, where he put up 26, 10, and 5, I believe. Was most efficient. Led the Raptors, was their leading scorer. Klay Thompson was the leading scorer of the game. But again, Bledsoe locked them up. Any guard on the Sixers didn't do well in the series. Like, he did his job, and there has to be something said. He was the emotional leader on that finals team. Like, Kawhi wasn't going to talk. He was the one who rallied the troops.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to put someone who was the emotional leader. And look, everyone's saying Siakam, who was better than him, and just looks at a box score and see he averaged more and was more efficient. Just stop. Just watch the games. That's it. You ask any Raptor fan who watched those games, I bet most of them tell you Kyle Lowry was second best player on that team.
I really, like, it gets me, like, it does give me a trigger when I hear that,
like,
people
look,
putting Siakam over Lowry. Like,
I get Russell Westbrook is more talented, but who do you want to go to war with in the playoffs? Because to me, it's not even close. It's really
to
not.
Me, how I define best is who gives you the best chance to win
yeah,
a meaningful game of
that's
basketball.
That's why you don't play for the stats. You play to win, and me and you can go on and on about Kyle Lowry, but I have Kyle Lowry third team.
Yeah. Who do you have?
Number 12, I have LeBron. Number 12, you have Embiid, right?
Yeah. And Lillard would be 13.
Lillard, you have 13. See, my 13th, this is where it gets a little weird. So I wanted to put Draymond here, but I just, the regular season, I couldn't get bad. Because I don't care if you have an okay regular season, but if you were really bad for your standards, that matters to me. So I couldn't put him there. So, I mean, you might laugh at this. You know, by the way, two guys we haven't gotten to yet is Kyrie Irving or Russell Westbrook. Do you have Kyrie Irving in your All-NBA team?
Nope.
I do. That's absurd. It's not absurd. Number 13th, I have Blake Griffin. Don't laugh.
I love Blake. He's one of my favorite players. I can't.
I'll make the case. So, again, Blake Griffin, he really resurged this year. And it sucked he got injured in the playoffs. But, again, he led his team there. He was the leading playmaker for that Pistons team as a big. He was shooting and making threes. He could dribble past people. He was getting to the free throw line. He wasn't a negative on defense. He was extremely athletic, a little less efficient, but still really efficient. Led his team to the playoffs on a honestly terrible Pistons team. I mean, besides Drummond, that team was just horrible. And the fact that he got in there was cool. And again, he only played two games in the playoffs because of his injuries. But when he was there, he played well. Like, and they're playing the Bucks, you know, one of the best teams in the league. So I look at everything Blake did, and a lot of guys couldn't get his team to the playoffs in that scenario.
Those two games is what did it for me. Like, he was out two games. Like, I can't put him in my playoff. I mean, in my top 15.
Just because he missed two games? Do you want to know the top minutes player? You want to know the top seven in minutes played on that Pistons team in the playoffs?
No, I know that team was bad. I probably would have him like in my fourth team.
Luke Kennard, Wayne Ellington, Langston Galloway, Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, Ish Smith, Thon Maker. Like, are you serious? The team he's playing, like, all the top players that we have on this list, like, no one's taking that team. No one's beating Milwaukee with that team. Except for, like, okay, LeBron in his prime. You know?
So you would have him under CJ McCollum?
Yeah, I would.
That's crazy to me, because I'll make the case for CJ McCollum right now.
Again, McCollum's in a way better situation.
Blake
Griffin was an All-NBA third team. Look, Blake Griffin was an All-NBA third team for the regular season, so he was good in the regular season. And for the games that he played in the playoffs, the dude showed up. Like, just straight like that. He played well. What's it called? In game three, he put up 27, 7 boards, 6 assists, only 2 turnovers. Again, Drummond had 4. Was way more efficient than Drummond. Like, he was good in that game. And then you look at game 4, where he was also good in. He puts, let's see, he shoots 53%, only 22 points, but again, being efficient, 6 assists, 5 boards. You know, like, he's playing well, 66% from 3 that game. And look, his teammates are Drummond, Jackson, Ellington, Bruce Brown. Like, there has something to be said about the team he was playing with. I get what McCollum did, but if you put Blake Griffin in that situation, it's a lot different. I feel like you can't what you're doing is you're looking at how a player performed in the situation they're in. But you also have to take into account how much easier his situation is than Blake Griffin's.
That's my point. That does make sense, but like how you made the case earlier, like, it's as simple as like one guy played and one guy didn't. I forgot which guy it was. That one guy played, like, Damian Lillard over Paul George.
Yeah, but like, that wasn't because of an injury. That was because Paul George didn't show up. Blake Griffin played well in the playoffs for the time he was there. His team is just horrible.
Okay,
I'm not gonna blame him for that series.
So he averaged 21 in the regular season. Yeah. In the first round, he averages 24 on 45% from the field, 45% from three. Second round, he really does like put a lot of the Blazers on his back.
You could 26. Make the argument he was better than Lillard.
I would say that. He averaged 26.
I'd still go Lillard because Lillard got most of the attention on defense, but it's a fair case.
Well, he had 41 points in the quadruple OT win against the Nuggets. And then in Game 7, 37 he had 37 on 17-29 shooting. Like, the Western Conference Finals, he played bad, but he played... I think he played better than Lillard still in the Western Conference Finals. He had 22 on 39% from the field. It was better than Lillard, I'm pretty sure. So, that's where I'm going to call him 14.
And 13, you have Lillard.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you don't have Blake Griffin in. All right, so my 13th... So 11-eyed Kyle Lowry. 12... Did Siakam make your list?
Oh, that was a really tough one. It was between him and who's my number and whoever my number 15 guy is right now. Oh,
see, I had a lot of guys. So 11 was Klay Thompson. 12, I had LeBron James. 13, I had Blake Griffin. And 14, I had Draymond Green. I know we're really far out on this. I factored in the regular season more, but what he was able to do in the playoffs was just out of this world. So yeah, 14, I had Draymond.
You know what? I'm glad you had him in your team at least. That's good enough.
He deserves. It's just the regular season was so bad. I don't feel great about it putting him there.
Yeah.
But like, just there has to be something said for what he was able to do in the playoffs. Again, he was like 0.2 away from averaging a triple double in the finals. He was great.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So, yeah, 15.
And then 15. 15 was a toss-up to me between a lot of people. And it kind of came down to me who I just thought did the most with their situation. And I can't believe I'm saying this. You know what? I want to say McCollum, but he's just such a negative on defense. I want to say Kyrie, but what he did to their chemistry and everything, how can I reward that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
I had Kyrie here, but I think I'm going to change. Talk me into someone. Who do you have 15?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I'm going to have to make a really big case here.
Oh, boy.
Ready for it?
Wait, hold up. Before you say it. Is it East or West? Is it East or West?
East.
Is it Kemba Walker?
No.
Is it someone on the Celtics?
No.
All right, I don't know. Don't say it, Ben Simmons.
Marc Gasol.
Oh, my God.
So, wow. Regular season, it was around what Draymond Green's was. It was 9-7-4, 1-1.
He was great on Memphis.
He was on Memphis, yeah.
He was balling at the beginning of the season, but then all right, make your case, because that's ridiculous.
Okay, so in the playoffs, they were plus 14 on with him, plus 4 off. I kind of compare it to Ben Wallace in that Pistons run in the playoffs. And I think if you ask me, Ben Wallace was more than top 15 in that run. So that's around, like, I kind of compared to Ben Wallace during that Pistons run. But
I would put Ben Wallace in my top 10.
The first round, he shuts down Vucevic. He averaged 21-12 on 52% field goal.
Don't say he shut down Vucevic. Him, Ibaka, Siakam, Kawhi, they shut down Vucevic. Like, don't say it was just him.
No, because
this
was just him.
It wasn't.
Vucevic averaged 21-12 in the regular season on 52% field goal.
Vuce was horrible, but
he averaged 11-8 on 36% shooting. All right, only one game above 12 points.
Can I just give you Marc Gasol's stats in the playoffs?
Wait, can I make the case first?
All right, make the case, because this is just ridiculous.
second round, he shuts down Embiid. Embiid, he averaged 28 and 14 in regular season.
No, it wasn't just him.
It was just him.
He was great, but...
Obviously, no shutdown is just one player. But it was Marc Gasol. Like,
Whatever.
So he held Embiid at 18-9 on 37% shooting. He played amazing help on Simmons drives, which is why Simmons' points per game dropped so much in that series. Eastern Conference Finals, he locks up the whole paint. Giannis has a decent first two games. After game two, Gasol blames himself, takes accountability. From game six on, Giannis averages 21 on 44% shooting.
They built a wall to stop Giannis. They built
after,
a wall.
After the series, Giannis
Gasol
said,
was a cog in the wall.
You know what Giannis said after the series? He said, what? Now every day in my head, I'm seeing Gasol. Gasol in the turnaround game three. In the game three, in the turnaround game, 16, 12, 7, and 5. And he played great help on Middleton and Bledsoe on their drives. In the finals, great defense.
He's the only one playing great help defense. Like,
No. You have to see it in the you watch the finals.
Yeah.
First of all, he was knocked down from the top of the key. In the finals, he's out there 35 feet down from the basket guarding Curry. Like, off the ball. Like, I really value him for that. Like, and he was holding his own ground. On his box and one, every time you see one of those pictures where Steph Curry is just boxed, Marc Gasol is always there. Every single one.
No, he was great on defense. I'm with you. But, look, he probably got, what, the fourth most attention on offense? Honestly, Danny Green might have gotten more attention.
But the reason
offense.
That Toronto team was so good
and
was
you know,
because
and you know what you shot? You know he shot from the floor in the playoffs? Being, like, getting the fourth, being like the fourth person to worry about, like when Lowry, Siakam, Kawhi gets more attention, he shot 42% from the field, averaged less than 10 points. And I get that what he did was great, but there's no way you think he was a top 15 player.
This is like you giving me Ben Wallace's offensive stats in that season.
No,
like,
but
I could care less.
First of all, the game was way different back then. Like you can't compare it to that. Defense was just, like, valued more. Ben Wallace was, like, I want to say he was their third leading scorer or something like that. Like, not a lot of players even scored that much. And Ben Wallace was ridiculous on defense. I understand all that.
In the finals, he had three games scoring 17 or more points. I think that's good enough for me.
Those three games make him. So where would you have Van Vliet ranked?
Van Vliet's not in my thing.
No, but if you rank like top 25, would Van Vliet make it?
No.
You value these little playoff games. Like,
you value Van Vliet's finals performance over his underperformance in the other rounds. Marc Gasol, sure. When you look back at all these series, here, this is what I think. For the reasons they won each round, first round against the Magic, it's because Vooch played bad. And that's Marc Gasol. Second round is because Embiid played bad. That's because of Marc Gasol. The third round is because Giannis played bad. It's because Marc Gasol. The fourth round is because of the box and one and help. And that's part Marc Gasol. I really think this guy was one of the, like, he is one of the guys I would want if I was building a team to win a championship for one year.
I'm with you on that. But if my team has a bunch of scrubs on it, I don't want Gasol leading them. I want, I don't know, maybe Kemba Walker leading them. Or,
again, this is like, this is about ceiling raisers. Like, I want a guy who's going to raise my
ceiling. Yeah, but it's also about someone who did what they had to do with what the cards they were dealt. Gasol got a pretty, I would say Gasol had a really good hand. He's playing with Lowry, Siakam, and Kawhi. And you have to take into account it's teammates there are. So, for my 15th spot, I originally had Kyrie Irving, but I'm changing it, and I'm putting Kemba Walker.
Not Marc Gasol?
Nope. And for this simple reason, if you put Marc Gasol on that Hornets team, they're not even close to the playoffs. Not even close.
But you can say the same about Ben Wallace. But Ben Wallace.
It's a different era. Like, don't do that. If you put Walker... If you put Kemba on the Toronto Raptors,
wait. Not, like, what do you mean by it's a different era? Like it is a different era, but when is a top five or top 10 defense not want to champ? Like every championship team has been a great defensive team.
Not true.
Cleveland. Name one. Cleveland was still great defense that year. Hold on. You think just because... You think just because... I'm pretty sure they were ranked top 10. Hold on. I'm going
to 2017. 2017 Cavs that went to the finals.
No, I'm talking about finals champions.
All right. I mean, look, and like you've said this before. Wait, I tried to make the case with Kevin Durant being a better defender than Steph Curry, and you always try to say that defense is a team thing. But with Gasol, you just say it's him.
Because what's the reason they won each of those games? Like the reason you like
biggest reason like, was Kawhi Leonard.
That's bigger. That's when I stretch it out bigger picture. When it comes down to it, the reason for winning those games was because they shut down the best player. And most of the time, that was a guy that was dominant in the paint. And Marc Gasol finally put an end to that.
What player on Golden State was the dominant offensive player in the paint?
What player on Golden State was the dominant offense?
Was the
Draymond
dominant?
Draymond Green's field goal percentage shot by 10%. Well, he averaged 17 in the series before.
Draymond was never a scorer. Wait, can I just read you Kemba's the Kemba's teammates?
Okay.
The next leading scorer was Jeremy Lamb. After that, it's Marvin Williams and Cody Zeller. They both averaged 10 a game. After
Marc Gasol also got to the finals and won the finals.
After that, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Like, wait, what are we talking about here? And you just said Marc Gasol made it to the finals. He's the fourth best player on the team. What do you expect is going to happen? Kemba Walker's the best player on the team and carried Charlotte. And look, I know he missed the playoffs. They were the ninth seed. They just were out. And there's something has to be said with the teammates he's playing with. I could switch Kemba for a lot of people. I could switch him for CJ. CJ has a case. I could switch him for Chris Middleton as a case. At least he played well. Like, he was really good in that Celtics series. You didn't even speak about Middleton. I'm surprised. I thought you had Middleton in your team.
Hold on.
Again,
name
Middleton as a case, Siakam as a case. My 15th spot is, you know, like so many different guys can take it, but I would probably go Kemba just because of amazing teammate, amazing leader, and with what he had, with the cards he was dealt, he played amazing. All-star starter.
Name the best player on each series that the Raptors won. Like from the other team, and Marc Gasol was the number one reason that they were limited.
All right, Vucevic.
Yeah.
Which I'll give you. All right, but they're beating Orlando regardless if Gasol's on his team or not. I hate to break it to you. Embiid, but again, look, Gasol was great on Embiid, but that's not the sole reason. Like if Kawhi
for Ben Wallace either. Win. But also, Ben Wallace, like, without Ben Wallace, that team.
But it's a completely, like, basketball was just different back then. Like, and look, I can't remember off the top of my head, like, how those, I'd have to rewatch those Pistons games if you want me to, like, talk about Ben Wallace. Like, you know what I mean?
Let me break it down to you like this here. If Marc Gasol isn't on the Raptors, they don't win the second round versus Sixers.
Yep, I'm glad you brought that up. Because if Kemba Walker's not on the Hornets, they're probably like with the first pick.
If Marc Gasol isn't playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, they don't win against the Bucks. If Marc Gasol isn't playing in the finals,
they don't
win against the Warriors. Dude, he was Giannis literally said that he was the reason. Okay. In the turnaround game 3, 16, 12, 7, and 5 out of Gasol.
Look, that's a big game, but you act like all right, what about game 1 of Milwaukee? Does that matter?
He blamed himself for the first two game loss for the first two losses.
How'd Brook Lopez play in that game 1? How'd Brook Lopez play when Gasol was guarding him?
How'd he play the rest of the series?
He had like 29 and 12. Okay, but you just brought up one of Gasol's best games, so I'll bring up Blake Griffin's best.
I'm talking about the turnaround game 3. That was the most important game. Well,
you want to say it's a turnaround game 3, but does the game 3 win matter statistically more than game 1? No. One win is a win. So stop doing that one game thing. Kemba Walker.
So you wouldn't say game seven means more than a game one?
Was it game seven? No, it was game three.
It was game three, double OT to go down 3-0. And Marc Gasol put on.
Wasn't facing elimination. Again.
Dude, about to go down 3-0 is basically elimination.
Kemba Walker played
that.
Every game. Look, like, you can make the case all you want, but. Oh my, it's just insane. How do you justify that? Do the Hornets do any better with Gasol on their team? No, they do worse without Kemba. Way worse. They're probably the second worst team in the league. Maybe worst team in the league. I mean, honestly, look at that roster. Really, it's horrible. And the crazy thing about it is that he doesn't even average a high amount of turnovers, even though he has the ball the whole time. Like, it's only 2.5 turnovers a game. He's still getting 6 assists. Like, he's still being relatively efficient. Again, 36-35% from three. So, we got to wrap up soon. But, again,
yeah.
I'll put Kemba Walker in my spot. I think Middleton has a case. I think, look, I know we bag on him, but Russell Westbrook has a case. Look, like, Russell Westbrook didn't have a bad regular season. He didn't. But that playoff meltdown was just inexcusable.
Name a few honorable mentions you were thinking about.
Russell cared more about the Damian Lillard. Oh, he got, like, locked in that just the match.
Who's your honorable mentions?
But yeah, my honorable mentions are I have – wait, hold up. Let me just go through my team again.
Okay.
So real quick, 1, Kawhi, 2, Steph, 3, KD. Again, you could switch them because of the injury, so not mad at that. 4, Giannis, 5, Harden, 6, Jokic, 7, Lillard, 8, PG, 9, Embiid, 10, Klay, 11, Braun, 12, Kyle Lowry, 13, Blake Griffin, 13, Blake Griffin, 14, Draymond Green, 15, Kemba Walker. Alma mentions, look, I know we bag on him, Kyrie Irving, still a great player, Russell Westbrook, Chris Middleton, LaMarcus Aldridge, Pascal Siakam. That's it. Those five.
My only honorable mention that I really have written down is Pascal Siakam because he was 16.
Oh, and McCollum. That's also an honorable mention for me. Those six.
Yeah. Marc Gasol was really the only one I really felt like.
That's insane. I still can't believe that.
You really think so? When you look back at the reason they won and everything like that, I believe Marc Gasol was the reason.
He's a big reason, but a lot goes into winning. Anyways, we're going to sign off now. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to be back Wednesday with another pod. We're starting our rankings for the top 40. We're doing top 40, right?
Yep.
Top 40 players in the NBA bubble going to Orlando. Just who we want on our team. And we'll see you then. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Peace.
Bye.